Good afternoon, Lee Bradlip with you on this Wednesday for another edition of Inside Tiger Nation. Bit of a lull in the sports calendar as we have wrapped up the fall sports season, getting ready for the start of basketball in a couple of weeks. This reminder, the Breckenridge County High School dance team will be competing in the KHSAA dance competition this coming Saturday at Martha Lane Collins High School in Shelbyville. Tickets can be purchased on khsaa.org. You go to gofan.co, select Region 1, Session 2. Tickets are $9. Day of event will be $11. The doors open at 12:30 Eastern Time this Saturday afternoon. Coming up the roundtable with Mike Harnett and Jonathan Bennett as Inside Tiger Nation continues here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation on this Wednesday afternoon. Lee Bradlip joined for the roundtable segment by Mike Harnett and Jonathan Bennett. We'll talk a little UK, well, maybe a lot of UK, considering right now I've been a bit of a lull with the high school sports season. Of course, that will change here at the end of the month when basketball gets underway. We'll talk, I guess, first off about the game that took place Monday night. Cats didn't have Oscar Tshiebwe, Sevier Wheeler, and a couple of others, but those that were there gave a pretty good showing against Howard.
Yeah, I think the line going in was like 27, 28 points, something like that, and the Cats covered that. I think the final margin was somewhere around 31, 32. So, you know, they did what was expected without what would be three important pieces for this upcoming year due to injury, and then, of course, Collins losing his father very unexpectedly. So, you know, without three of your better players, and Howard is expecting to compete for the championship of their conference. They're no pushover. So, you know, I was quite impressed with the way they played, and I thought they shot the ball really well. And, you know, they've got all the pieces if they can just escape the injury bug. And I think we say that about every year. That's the big unknown, and that's for every team, I'd say.
But it seems like they do have some depth at guard this year. Maybe that, of course, was one of the things that hurt them last year. It looks like potentially, especially seeing Frederick come on, that we've got a few more pieces now. And as Mike said, though, you've just got to keep them healthy.
Yeah, and that's the main thing. I mean, you look at the three that weren't there. I mean, we know what we've got in Tshiebwe and Sevier Wheeler, and then Damian Collins is probably the most projectable pro in the whole bunch. Still got a long way to go, but he's got more potential, I think, than anybody else to maybe play at the next level. But you know, it's all about continuity. It's all about getting to play together. So we want those guys back to start doing those things. For our bigger games, and obviously Kentucky's non-conference schedule is as tough, maybe tougher than anybody's in the entire country. But for the Howard, the game, these type of games, you know, the directional college games, as they say, were fine. But, yeah, you would like to see those guys coming back and working on some specific rotations. Cal's notorious for towards end of the season kind of tightening up that rotation. But early on, he plays lots of players and gives people chances and things. But, yeah, I watched most of the game for Monday night, and it was pretty well pleased with the effort and just all the different pieces we've got. I mean, you talk about the depth at guard. We've got depth at the big man, too. I mean, for a guy like Lance Ware with all the experience he's got and just everything he brings to the table as far as being a leader on the team and stuff. I mean, he's a player we don't really count on, but I feel like he's gotten a lot better the past couple of years, too. So it's exciting. Got a long way till March, but, you know, if we can keep it figured out, hopefully we can make it past that first game unlike we did last year.
Looking ahead, of course, we get a little better answer of what this team maybe is made of coming up before the next roundtable. That comes up when they have to take on Michigan State. Maybe not the juggernaut that Tom Izzo has had of years past, but in terms of finding out where this team is in terms of maybe comparable competition, it's a good signpost.
Yeah, you know, I think Mr. Bennett hit on a key point there is the rotations. I mean, you can get to a point to where you've got so many good players that all deserve to play, but, you know, you can only play five at a time. And, you know, last night I thought they had a pretty good rotation, you know, but you got three more players that are going to be demanding playing time and a lot of it, you know, especially with Tshiebwe and Wheeler. You know, arguably your two players that you have to have in the game pretty much at most of the time. So, you know, I think that's going to be the big thing for Calipari this year is your rotation and you know, keeping everybody happy and not have, like we have in the past, you have some mid-season transfers because they're not pleased with the amount of playing time they're getting. And that's the only thing. If you can just keep everybody happy, you know, that'll be a job well done. But he's got a lot of talent. And you could go argue that Kentucky's 11, 12 guys will be starting on a lot of good teams this year, other teams. So, you know, I think that could become a point of emphasis later on is, you know, trying to get everybody their minutes. And if he can keep down on the ego issue, then I'm excited about the season ahead.
We'll talk about football in the next segment, but I want to close with something here, changing gears, to talk about the situation. Since we last talked, the University of Louisville finally learned their punishment in regards to the scandal, I guess the federal probe of corruption. I was just thinking about that a moment ago. I remember, I think it was actually sometime during the fall back in 2017, I had just finished up recording a coach's show when word broke out that it had been affirmed that Rick Pitino had been dismissed from the University of Louisville. It's hard to believe 5 years has transpired since all this took place. Last week, the Cardinals learned their fate in terms of postseason, not really facing any serious implications. Believe maybe 2 years probation, also a small fine, but really all the parties really sort of escaping any serious punishment out of it. I guess the long term going forward is, does anyone get punished anymore for anything? We saw with the North Carolina situation, they really didn't get punished for their academic issues. And now with name, image, and likeness being a factor, how is punishment or any sanctions even part of the future of the NCAA?
No, I don't think so. In my personal opinion, I think the NCAA botched the whole North Carolina deal. Decades of basically cheating and having kids take classes for your student athletes and passing tests for your student athletes, and the NCAA to basically say that's not our jurisdiction, that's not an NCAA issue. Like I after that, I lost all faith in the NCAA. Didn't have a ton of faith in them before that, but to say that and to say that that doesn't affect sports and doesn't affect eligibility is just ludicrous in my opinion. So the whole Louisville thing, I think they think they took entirely too long. I think there should be a limit to how long they can investigate something and a limit to how long they have to give out sanctions. And to go on for 5 years, I mean, what are they doing? But, yeah, to answer your question, I think as far as punishments moving forward with the NIL stuff, they're not going to be able to police all that, and it's just going to be kind of a wild, wild west type thing. And it's going to be just whatever happens. And I do think, and kind of to that point, and we can probably talk about one during the football segment too, but I think Kentucky's kind of behind in the whole NIL thing with football and even with basketball due to the athletic director not being as on board. So it's interesting. The next 5 years are going to be very interesting, and the better programs, the better teams are the ones who embrace the NIL and are the ones who basically not only have the most money, but it's just the most attractive in terms of money and deals and things like that.
Mike, before we wrap up, I'll give you a thought here, but I'll also share this. The argument is, well, Louisville didn't get punished. Well, they're now what? On coach number three, I guess, in terms of basketball. They went from Rick Pitino to Chris Mack, now to Kenny Payne. They're now on athletic director number three after Jurich was dismissed and then Tyree moved on. They're now in the process even of looking for a new school president. To some level, they've cleaned house. None of the players, either coaching or staff, administrative, are part of this thing. Did that also make it difficult, really, for the NCAA to sit there and say, we're going to drop you with the death penalty? Although, like I said before, when you have an assistant coach that says on tape, we've got to keep this quiet, that makes an argument for it, but at the same time, they have cleaned house.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to say what the NCAA was thinking, to be quite honest with you.
I think it's hard for anybody to think what they're thinking.
In that case, and I don't want to just sit here and bash U of L. I mean, it's known I'm a huge UK fan, but I'm not anti-U of L by no means. But, I think Mr. Bennett hit on the point. You got North Carolina, you got Kansas, you got all the other blue bloods that are getting caught doing the same thing and nothing's happening. But, Jonathan alluded to, I mean, it's just like run rampant. You know, back in the day, if you transferred to another school, you sat out a year. Well, now it's almost like you can transfer at Christmas and be ready to play by New Year's. And, with everybody's playing 5 years, some 6 years, and you know, back in the day, you had 4 years of eligibility. That's it. And you know, so now, you know, it's just, it's hard to even compare and contrast the way things were 10 years ago to say, you know. And so it's definitely a different game across the board with the way the NCAA does things.
And speaking of 10 years, I'll even go as far to say that the NCAA maybe in the next 10 years will not look like anything we see right now or even growing up, and even will there be an NCAA when we get to that point. But those will be questions that have to be answered for another day. When we return, we'll turn our attention to UK getting a much-needed victory in football, and the Cardinals also starting to maybe get their season turned around. That's as the roundtable continues here on Inside Tiger Nation, here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation. A reminder, the high school basketball season for the Fighting Tigers and Lady Tigers will kick off Tuesday, November 29th, as both teams host Grayson County in a doubleheader at Tiger Arena. The girls' game will begin at 5:30 on Tuesday afternoon, with the boys' game to follow. 104.3 The River will have coverage of Fighting Tiger and Lady Tiger basketball throughout the season. Our coverage will begin around 5:15 that Tuesday afternoon, ahead of the girls' game at 5:30. Inside Tiger Nation continues in just a moment here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation here on 104.3 The River. Looking back on last weekend, the BCHS cheerleading squad competed in the game day large division of the Region 2 competitive cheer competition down at Owensboro High School. They finished fourth in the game day large group. A nice crowd turned out to support the Lady Tigers as well. The Fighting Tiger alumni basketball team went down to Hancock County on Saturday night. They had a 72-56 win over the Hornets, so congratulations to the Tiger alumni for that victory as well. A reminder that the BCHS dance team will be in competition this weekend up at Martha Lane Collins High School in Shelbyville. They'll be performing at around 12:30 Eastern Time. Tickets are available. You can get a discount on those tickets if you go to the KHSAA website and go to gofan.co. You can select Region 1 Session 2. Tickets are $9 in advance. They're $11 the day of the event. Again, the Lady Tigers compete at around 12:30 Eastern Time Saturday afternoon. Inside Tiger Nation continues in just a moment here on 104.3 The River. Back with you on Inside Tiger Nation for this Wednesday afternoon. A reminder, the high school basketball season begins for the Lady Tigers and Fighting Tigers on Tuesday, November 29th. That's when they host Grayson County at Tiger Arena. Coverage on 104.3 The River will begin around 5:15 that afternoon, ahead of the girls' game that starts at 5:30 with the boys' game to follow. Again, season for both teams opens Tuesday 29th at home against Grayson County. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation as we continue the roundtable segment this afternoon with Jonathan Bennett and Mike Harnett. And Mike, it was by no means a pretty game, and one that at the time looked on the jagged edge of disaster, really. But UK football saw its way through and got a big win, at least to right the train a little bit over in Columbia last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I read an article that said that we've seen Kentucky lose those games for so many years and be on the side of Missouri where you should have won, but you lost. And Kentucky seems like we always find a way to lose up until recently, and now we're kind of finding a way to win, minus the Ole Miss game that we should have won that we didn't. But, you know, that call will – if we go on and finish 8-4 like we should – you know, that call with the roughing the kicker will be one that probably saved the season. You know, I know that's kind of, that term's kind of thrown around a lot, but it, realistically, Goodfellow, I just read yesterday where he's out for the season. He's done. They didn't officially say broken leg, but it's something where he's done. But he sacrificed his body and basically saved our season, or gave us a chance to save our season. And, you know, it was a game that a lot of pacing the floor, but, you know, Kentucky found a way to pull it out and win a game they should have won a whole lot more easily than they did. But, you know, they should not have any problem with Vanderbilt this Saturday. Vanderbilt's struggling, and then, you know, you've just got to finish out the season and probably take your loss against Georgia and then finish up with a couple of wins and, you know, see where we go.
Speaking of where we go, that seems to be the story of the moment with the win over Missouri. The good news for UK is they are bowl eligible for another year. Now the question is where? Of course, losing the games to South Carolina, losing the way they did probably to Tennessee also hurts them as well. The talk is, I'm hearing everything from still going to Tampa all the way to potentially Houston. Everything is on the table still for the Wildcats, depending on how they finish.
Yeah, and, you know, from a Kentucky perspective, you can kind of look at do you want something in Tampa where it's warm and you kind of make a vacation out of it, or do you want something in Music City where it's close by and you can maybe travel to Nashville? Mr. Hart and I actually went down there a few years ago, watched Kentucky lose a bowl game. Kind of Benny Snell, I think, got ejected that game in a controversial call by the official, but regardless. So that's kind of where your minds are going now. Not that it matters what any of us think. They're going to do what they're going to do, but it's interesting that just the dynamics of Kentucky football have changed so much, and a lot of people will say that this season is a failure because we had higher expectations or aspirations or what have you. But at the same time, if you go 8-4 every year and you make a fairly decent bowl every year, like that doesn't happen in Kentucky football every year. So I think we have to kind of step back and realize how fortunate we are and what kind of job that Mark Stoops and Vince Morrow and the guys are doing with that program. Yes, do we want to take the next step and compete with the Tennessees and the Georgias for SEC championships to get to the SEC championship games? Yes, but that's a lot easier said than done. So it'll be interesting. Kind of to the Georgia point, I went on record a few months ago at one of these shows and basically said that I thought Georgia was the best team in the country. I don't know why everybody was putting them at 2 and 3 and even lower sometimes, and they've done nothing but just solidify, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but from day one, I thought they were the best team. I thought they were the most rounded team. They won it last year until somebody beats them. I think they are the best team, and they've done nothing but solidify that. So I think it's theirs to lose. I think Ohio State probably has the most talent to possibly knock them off, but it'll be interesting going forward. But, you know, 8-4, go to a bowl, try to maybe possibly win a bowl. Kentucky's had some success, a lot of success actually winning bowls here recently. But that's a good season to me.
I think consensus is in terms of where they go. I think most UK fans, though, would prefer to avoid Nashville, not because of the proximity issue, but also because of scheduling, as the Music City Bowl, as it stands, would be scheduled at the same time as UK versus U of L basketball. Let's talk about U of L very quickly. I remember sitting since Coach Bennett brought up here the conversations about former games. I think we were all sitting earlier in the season wondering if U of L was headed for a crash of a season. However, with some positive results here as of late, Scott Satterfield has the Cardinals back in business. I think they're one win away from becoming bowl eligible, although they've got a couple of some big tests coming up here down the stretch.
Yeah, they may already be bowl eligible. Actually, I thought I saw something to where this past weekend was their sixth one. You know, it's kind of what have you done for me lately? You go 3 or 4 games back, and everybody was calling for his firing, and now everybody seems to be content as they're bowl eligible with 3 games left, and they actually feel confident they've got a chance to compete with Kentucky. In years past, they're just kind of just going through the motions, I think, but this year they feel like they legitimately can play with Kentucky that last game of the year. And I think he's gotten off the hot seat, quote unquote, for a little bit. And the focus has been put on some other places like Nebraska and Auburn, who have fired their coaches and different things like that. So less talk about your firing has got to make it a little bit easier to do your job there as a head football coach at U of L.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you very much. And that'll take care of this week's edition of the program. If you missed any portion of today's show, head over to the podcast section of WXBC1043.com. In just a couple of minutes, and you can listen to the interviews here in their entirety. Until next Wednesday afternoon at 5, Lee Bramlett saying so long for now. You've been listening to Inside Tiger Nation on the sports voice of Breckenridge County, 104.3 The River, WXBC.